Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us again for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great peace have those who love his Torah, or you could say his law. It says that nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and jump into our teaching for this week. As we are reading through our Torah portion this week, we have found ourselves in our second reading for the book of Numbers. And so I have chosen to pick a piece out of Numbers chapter 6, where he goes into the instructions regarding the Nazirite vow on what we can dive into for this week and talk about and see what Yahweh wants to show us according to his spirit and according to his word. So with that said, let's go ahead and read here in Numbers chapter 6, starting in verse 1. It says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when either a man or a woman makes a special vow, the vow of a Nazirite to separate himself to Yahweh." I want to go ahead and stop on our reading there for a moment. And I want to talk about a couple of things here. The first thing I want to talk about here regarding the Nazirite vow was this was a special vow. This was something that a person could opt to do or choose to do. A Nazirite vow was not a command. No one was instructed to take the Nazirite vow. No one was required to take the Nazirite vow. This was something an individual could do out of their own desire, out of their own heart, to separate himself unto Yahweh, or you could say to separate himself unto a greater degree unto Yahweh. So the question we could ask ourselves is, why would a person desire to take a special vow, the vow of that Nazirite? The word Nazirite means to be separate. So you're taking a vow of separation. That's the very meaning and definition of the Nazirite vow. So why would a person have it in their heart's desire to separate themselves even more unto Yahweh? And we kind of think about that concept even today, when we think about how many people who profess to believe in Yeshua, who say they are believers, who say they are Christians, but yet the desire to walk as Yeshua walked does not seem to be in their hearts. The desire to walk in obedience unto his word doesn't seem to be there. They have a desire more to be like the world, to be conformed unto the world, instead of being transformed into the image of Yeshua. So this idea, this concept of a person having in their desire or in their heart to be even more separate seems so strange compared to where we are in the world today, even amongst those who profess to be a believer in Yeshua. It's like, why would a person do that? Let's think about what Paul said. You know, Paul instructs us to be that living sacrifice. You know, that living sacrifice was a person who would lay down their life for Yahweh, for Yeshua. The idea and what he says is, let your bodies be that living sacrifice, that which is well-pleasing. So that which we're doing, our behavior, or you could say our obedience unto his word, our desire to reject conformity unto the world and instead be separated, to be separate unto him, to be transformed into the image of Yeshua, to walk as Yeshua walked, that makes us a living sacrifice. That is an offering which is well-pleasing unto Yahweh. So our love for Yahweh should put a desire in us to be a living offering, a living sacrifice, to bring an offering that is well-pleasing unto him, and that being that which we do, our obedience unto his word, our separation from conformity unto the world, to be transformed into the image of Yeshua, to walk just as he walked, that should be our heart's desire because we love him. That should flow out of our belief in Yeshua and our love for him. There should be in us a desire to want to be as a Nazirite, a desire to separate ourselves from the world, even to a greater degree than what may be required of us in his law, in his instructions in which he has given us. His law, his Torah, was the very thing that he gave Israel to separate themselves from the world. So when we walk in obedience to his law, it separates us from the world. It is the very thing that makes us different, that makes us stand out from the world. It is what helps us reject conformity unto the world and instead be transformed into the image of Yeshua. You want to be transformed into the image of Yeshua. You learn how to do that by learning his law, learning his instructions, and walking in it, walking in obedience to it, and being led by his Spirit. We cannot walk in obedience unto his word unless we are filled with his Spirit and we are being led by his Spirit, or otherwise we are going to be doing it by our own flesh, interpreting it by our own flesh, and we will get it wrong and we will miss the mark. So we must be led by his Spirit in this process. And as we love him and our belief in him and our desire to want to be that living sacrifice, we will find ourselves in that desire to even separate ourselves from the world to a greater degree, where we're willing to go above what the Torah requires of us, which again seems so opposite to what we see in so many people today, because it seems to be the exact opposite. What is the least I can do and still make it into heaven? Seems to be the approach. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 20, and we're going to see what Yahweh told Israel in regarding the whole camp and being separated. So Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 22. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my rules and do them, that the land where I am bringing you to live may not vomit you out. And you shall not walk in the customs of the nation that I am driving out before you. For they did all these things, and therefore I detested them. So as he's speaking to Israel, as they're going into the promised land, we see here, he's like, you shall keep all my statutes and my rules. You shall keep the Torah in which I am giving you. If you do not keep my rules, if you do not keep my statutes, I will vomit you out the land, just as he vomited the people who are currently in the land. Remember, he gave them 400 years to repent of their wickedness, and they did not. So they were vomited out of the land, and now Israel is going to inherit the land because of the wicked ways of the nations that were in the land. Yahweh does not want Israel to follow in the wickedness of the nations that were in the land. So he says, keep my statutes and my rules. He gives us his law, his Torah, so that we will not walk in the ways of the nation. So we will not fall in their evil ways, follow their path. His Torah is the path, the straight and narrow path that guides us away from the wickedness of the world. Okay, so the nations chose not to do that. And so he instructs Israel not to walk in the customs, or do not walk in the ways of these nations that I am driving out, because I detested them. He detests the ways of the nations, the ways of the world. He detests conformity unto the world. He hates it when his people conforms to the world and rejects his way, rejects set apartness. When we reject his law, when we reject his Torah, we reject the concept and the idea of being separated unto Yahweh. And instead, we embrace the ways of the nations and we embrace conformity unto the nations. So let's continue reading here in Leviticus chapter 20, and let's look at verse 24. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am Yahweh your God, who has separated you from the peoples. You shall therefore separate the clean beast from the unclean, and the unclean bird from the clean. You shall not make yourselves detestable by beast or by bird or by anything with which the ground crawls, which I have set apart for you to hold unclean. So the first verse there we read, we see how he is telling them not to walk in the customs of the nations or in the ways of the nations. Now he says, I have separated you from the people. He has separated us from this world. We still live in this world, but he has separated us from these people, from the world. So we have been separated from their ways. We are not to walk in their ways, but we are to walk in his ways, in obedience to his word. We need to know that which is clean and that which is unclean, and we need to refrain from touching that which is unclean. That is what the Nazirite did. He did not touch anything that was unclean during the time of his vow. So we need to learn to be as that Nazirite was, to understand and know that which is unclean, that which is not to be touched, and to refrain from touching that which is unclean. So let's go back to Numbers chapter 6, and we're going to finish reading the instructions for the Nazirite vow. He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink. He shall drink no vinegar made from wine or strong drink. He shall not drink any juice of grapes or eat grapes, fresh or dried. All the days of his separation, he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine, not even the seeds or the skins. All the days of his vow of separation, no razor shall touch his head until the time is completed for which he separates himself to Yahweh. He shall be holy. He shall let the locks of his hair of his head grow long. All the days that he separates himself to Yahweh, he shall not go near a dead body, not even for his father or for his mother or brother or sister. If they die, shall he make himself unclean, because his separation to God is on his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy to Yahweh. So here we see the example. We see these instructions that are being laid out to the Nazirite on what he is to do when he takes this vow, this time of separation, this time of a greater degree of separation. None of the things that we read there necessarily are a sin. Would it be a transgression to do those things if you were not in the Nazirite vow? It was not against Torah, or his law, you could say, to drink a vinegar or wine or to eat grapes or eat the grapes of the vine. That was not a sin. It was not a sin for a man to cut his hair. If a person was to go near a dead body, that person was unclean and they would have to go through a ritual or a cleansing process in order to be made cleansed from their uncleanness. But a Nazirite who is in his vow wasn't even to go near the dead body during his vow. So he was to stay away from it during that time period, even if it was his father or mother or brother or sister. So we're seeing the degree of the separation from that which is unclean. Okay, so do not even touch that which is unclean. Don't go and willingly touch it, because it was permitted for a person to be near a dead body. But they were to, again, go through that cleansing process. So just because something was permitted didn't necessarily make it beneficial. And we can see in the Nazirite vow, just because something was permitted in the greater degree of separation, it was not permitted. So we have to kind of ask ourselves, as we take our journey, as we take our walk, and we desire to be that living sacrifice for him, desire to be separated unto him, less like the world, less conformed to the world, to a point where we're totally have rejected all conformity unto the world and we're totally transformed into his image. We're going to find ourselves in a place like the Nazirite, where we are going to deny ourselves certain things that are permissible, but they may not be beneficial. They may be permissible, but if we want to find ourselves closer to Yahweh, if we want to be nearer to Him, more like Him, we're going to deny ourselves of those things because we are desiring and longing for that separation to be set apart unto Yahweh. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. So Peter gives us a list here of some things that we can do to separate ourselves from the world and to be transformed into the image of Yeshua. Put away malice. Put away all deceit and hypocrisy, envy, and slander. So we need to start by getting rid of those things. Verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So what do we need to do? As infants long for milk. When they're hungry, they desire the milk and they want to drink the milk. We need to have a desire for the spiritual milk. We need to have a desire to seek for the very thing that nurtures our soul, our spiritual man, and feeds us. And that is His word. And that includes His Torah. We need to long for His word, to read His word, to study His word, and to understand His word, and to apply His word. That way we can grow up into salvation, or we can grow up into this process of learning what it means to be like Yeshua, to be transformed into His image, and to be saved or free from the lust of our flesh, free from conformity unto this world, and free to walk in obedience unto His word. Without us receiving of the spiritual milk, we will not be able to grow up as believers in Yeshua. Let's look at verse 4. As you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. So, okay, Peter is telling us here, as you come to Him, as you approach unto God, He is telling us how we are to approach Him as a living stone. He's talking about this concept that we are the dwelling place of Yahweh, of God. We are a spiritual house, a spiritual tabernacle. So we all are stones of His temple, but we are living stones, but we are rejected by men. As we seek to be separated from man, as we seek to be separated from conformity unto this world, and we seek to be transformed into the image of Yeshua, we will be rejected by men. When we find ourselves with the desire of the Nazarite to separate ourselves even from things that may be permissible, we will be rejected by men. But we are a chosen and precious people unto God. And that is the very reason in which we're doing it. Because we're doing it to serve Him out of a form of worship unto Him, to show Him how much we love Him and desire Him and desire to be in His presence, to draw near unto Him. And so we do this by rejecting the ways of man, by separating ourselves even more from the ways of man to walk in His ways in obedience to His word. Let's look at verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Yeshua Messiah. Peter's saying here, what? You are a holy priesthood. We are a set apart priesthood. What was the role of the priest? To bring the offerings unto Yahweh, to God. To bring the very thing which would draw the people of Israel near unto God. They themselves, the priests, were even held to a higher standard than the rest of the camp of Israel because they were called to serve in the tabernacle, in the temple, to bring the offering before Yahweh. So another example of us seeing this need to separate ourselves to a higher degree, even above that which seems to be permissible, because we have been called to be a priesthood, to bring a spiritual sacrifice. What does a spiritual sacrifice consist of? We've already spoken about how we can be that living sacrifice through our obedience unto his word. That's one way we offer spiritual sacrifices. The second way is the praises of our lips, or as the scripture calls it, the bulls of our lips. So when we render praise and thanksgiving out of our mouth, it is like that altar when they brought that burnt offering and they offered that sacrifice, and that incense rose up into the heavens, and it was a sweet smelling aroma unto God. The praises of our lips, the thanksgiving that we speak out of our mouths, is a rising aroma that is pleasing unto God himself. And we are called to bring those spiritual sacrifices. So we are a priesthood, and we are called to be a holy priesthood, a priesthood who is set apart from the ways of this world. Let's look at verse 6. For it stands in scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, they stumble because they disobeyed a word as they were destined to do. So as Peter's talking about there being the stumbling block is what? For those who disobey, they stumble because they disobey his word. They disobey his Torah. They disobey the law, the instructions in which they were given. They disobey the very thing that he gave them to set them apart from the world, for them to be that holy priesthood. So we don't want to stumble. We stumble when we disobey. Remember the scripture I said when I started, great peace have those who love his law. So to those who love his law, who follow his law, there is a great peace for those. There is shalom. There is a completeness that comes to that person's life. There is joy that comes to that person's life. There is a blessing that comes to that person's life. And one of those blessings is that nothing will cause them to stumble. As Yeshua put it, the wise one who hears my word and does my word is like the one who built his house upon a rock. It will stand against the storm. But the one who does not do his word is like the fool who built his house upon the sand. And when the storm came, the house fell. Or as we're reading in this scripture, the house stumbled. To those who disobey his word, who do not love his Torah, they will stumble. But to those who believe, they will not be put to shame, because they will be able to stand against the storm. This is a belief which produces obedience. It's very interesting. He says, to those who believe in him will not be put to shame. And then he immediately starts talking about the ones who stumble or those who disobey. So the ones who are believing are doing what? They are being obedient. Let's look at verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So we have received mercy from God. He has forgiven us of our sins. He has forgiven us of our uncleanness, cleansed us of all that which was unclean. by the fact that he sent his one and only son to this earth to die upon the cross for us. And by the blood of Yeshua, we are forgiven. We can receive mercy from our disobedience where we have transgressed his law. Okay? But just because we have mercy doesn't mean we continue to walk in disobedience. Now that we have obtained mercy, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who were set apart to proclaim his goodness. We were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. What is light? Scripture tells us that his law is light. His law provides light unto us. It is a light unto our steps. It guides us. It directs us. When you walk in darkness, it means to walk in contrast, contrary to the word of God and his law and his Torah. To walk in his marvelous light means to walk in obedience to his word, to his light, to his word, to his Torah, to the instructions he has given us to do. When we reject his word, when we reject his law, we are rejecting his light and instead choosing darkness. Conformity to this world is darkness. Being transformed into the image of Yeshua is walking in the light. Let's look at verse 11. This is what Peter tells us to do. Now that we have obtained mercy, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify your God on the day of visitation. So what are we to do now that we have received mercy? Abstain from the passions of our flesh. Abstain from the desires that rage inside of us that are contrary to his word. Abstain from those desires to be conformed unto this world. Abstain from that. Reject that. Reject the thoughts that want to act like the world, that want to speak like the world, that want to do the things that they do. Reject those things. Wage war against those things, because if you don't, they will wage war against your soul. They will bring you to destruction. And then what does he say in verse 12? Keep your conduct honorable, that they will see your good deeds. What are our good deeds? It's obedience to his word. That they will see our obedience. And our obedience, even to the degree as a Nazarite, where we're going over and above that which is required of us in order to live a life that is pleasing unto our God. When they see that, then they can glorify God on the day of visitation. So let's look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So do not seek conformity to the world. God hates conformity to the world. He hates friendship with the world. The desires of the world are passing away. They are going to go away. They are not eternal. What is eternal is the will of God. And if we seek his will and we do his will abide forever. Forever with him. What is the will of God? It's his law. It's his word. Genesis to Revelation gives us the will of God. When we walk in obedience to his law, unto his Torah, we are doing the will of God, which abides forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. That should be every person's desire. That should be our prayer, what we're seeking for in our life, is to bring holiness or set apartness to completion in the fear of God. May we complete the process of not being conformed unto the world, but being totally 100% transformed into the image of Yeshua. That is what completion of holiness looks like. And in order to hit that, in order to make it to that level, to make holiness complete in our lives, we are going to have to be like the Nazarite. We are going to have to be willing to lay aside, put some things down, which may seem permissible, in order to totally separate ourselves unto God Himself. Well, I'm so glad that you have joined us this week. I hope that this message has blessed you. If it has, then we want to encourage you to come back. We want to encourage you to share it with someone you may know. And we will be back again next week with a teaching from next week's Torah portion. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.